Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Tonight's hosts are me, Patty, and
Janelle,
Dan,
and Danielle.
We all attend Laytonville High School. Tonight, our topic is raising political awareness in high school. We are going to begin tonight's show by replaying an interview from May 2002 between Heather Clegg, a former Willits High School student, and Norm Froman, who had recently been elected district attorney for Mendocino County. Norm Froman passed away this week, and many in the county and beyond are very sorry to see him go. Norm was generous to KZYX, often being interviewed for his political insights. Without any hesitation, he agreed to be interviewed for Youth Speaks Out to discuss the Patriot Act and political awareness among youth. What he said 4 years ago is even more relevant and true today. After the pre-recorded interview, we will discuss what he said and talk about political awareness in high schools. Many students turn 18 in high school and can vote. Many students have no idea of what is happening in local government. We'll discuss what could be done to make youth of our county more politically aware. After a while, we'll open the phone lines for your ideas and opinions. We'll begin with the interview between Heather Clegg and the late Norm Froman, aired on Youth Speaks Out in May 2002.
I am Heather Clegg Hammond, and I am a junior from Willits High. I'm here tonight to open some doors. I want you, the youth, to see what is going on in our government and how we can make a difference. The first step in this revolution is to get educated about what's going on in the government. I interviewed Norm Froman, the district attorney, because we need to learn the system before we can act on it. Understanding the laws on a local level will bring us a step closer to understanding the laws on a national level, such as the anti-terrorism laws and the Patriot Act. So here is the interview with Norm Froman. Is it against the Constitution or the law to allow the CIA and the FBI the ability to tap phone lines and access the internet and email records of anyone out of the ordinary?
Probably. Probably. But having said that, so what? There are a lot of laws that are unconstitutional, but until you work your way all the way up to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court rules on it, they may or may not be unconstitutional, but they're still enforced. And obviously, the Constitution doesn't give anybody any rights.
Okay.
It protects the citizens from the government. And it enumerates rights that were there before they wrote the Constitution. All the Constitution is saying is these are your rights and we want them put down so the government doesn't forget about
it. Isn't this violating some rights of the Constitution, like privacy? Isn't there anything outlined in the Constitution about privacy?
I don't think the word privacy is specifically mentioned per se in the Constitution. There are a lot of rights that are enumerated, like speech and to be safe in your home from unreasonable search and seizures, and the right not to incriminate yourself.
And they don't go off of any probable cause. There's no need for probable cause in order to investigate or tap phone lines and everything like that. What do you think of this?
Oh, I think it stinks. I don't like it at all. But, you know, it's typical of a government to be oppressive of its citizens. And this government is no different. All governments are the same.
It seems that civil rights and are diminishing and police investigation is increasing or government power is increasing. Where do you think we are in this trend? The beginning, the middle, or the end?
We're not at the beginning, so we must be either in the middle and approaching the end. But I don't know where it's going to go unless you got to look at history. If you look at history, there's nothing new under the sun except history you haven't read.
Yeah.
Why does the government keep trying to oppress the people?
Yeah.
That's the natural function of a government, to oppress the people. And what you're seeing now is a government that does not trust the citizens. I'm for a matriarchal society. I would like to see the ladies put back in charge of the country. You know, at one time in our history, we were a matriarchal society.
We were?
Yes, a long time ago. You wouldn't remember it, and I wouldn't remember it, but As far as I'm concerned, the women are more nurturing and more peace-loving than men, and we probably wouldn't have any wars if we had all the women running the country.
Well, that is good. Well, it's a good thing that I'm considering this course then. Do you consider the youth of the United States sheltered from what's going on with the government?
Well, not sheltered, but, you know, in your own school, you can see on a local level, there are some people that are interested in it and some people that aren't.
Right.
And I think that just amplifies that the larger you get, it becomes a smaller minority of people that are taking an interest in what's going on and are asking questions. The majority of people are happy to go along fat, dumb, and happy, and as long as it doesn't affect them directly, they don't care what happens.
What do you think the future of the U.S., or what do you think that our aim, our path right now, is headed toward?
I think the United States will fall as a world power.
Okay, that's what I think, too.
Well, you look at history. Every country that's been a world power stays up there for a while, and then it evolved to someone else.
A lot of people that I talk to, they're like, well, it's okay, you know, we can just wait it out. Everything comes, like, turns out fine in the long run. How do we change these people's minds?
You don't.
Then how do we make the action so that we don't fall, or, like, that we change our course so that we don't, like, go off the edge? Why can't we take a left turn or a right turn?
Because there are too few people like you. There are too few thinking people. The price of liberty, now I'm not talking about freedom. Freedom's something different than liberty.
Right.
The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. And I don't know who said that, but some guy smarter than I. And I think it was Thomas Jefferson said that the tree of liberty needs to be fertilized with the blood of patriots. And that means if you think something is good and you want to stand up for it, you better be willing to give your life for it.
What do you think of patriotism now? I mean, we see all these flags and everything, and that's what I think the definition of patriotism is.
It's almost overdone at this point. Everywhere I turn now, there's a flag, or somebody's wearing a flag on their lapel, because it's the thing to do. But I think that the majority of people that do this are copycats, and they don't really have any thought as to why am I wearing a flag in my lapel, and why am I flying a flag on my car? What am I trying to say?
What about the laws like the Patriot Act, or just like anti-terrorist laws? Because now we see that anybody of like Arab descent, or anybody that has, you know, any sort of like inkling of relation to someone from Afghanistan or anything like that, is totally discriminated against or under suspicion. What do you think this is teaching the youth of today?
Well, what do you think it taught the youth of the 40s when we locked up all the Japanese-American citizens in concentration camp? What do you think it said to all the youth when we made treaties with the Native Americans and then broke them left and right? There's nothing new happening. It's just different people doing it.
Yeah.
We are not in a position to stand up and say we're holier than thou. All you got to do is look at our history and see how we have abused people left and right. And now we stand up and say, oh, well, China needs to more enforce their human rights. Well, look at yourself before you try and straighten somebody else out.
What do you think of our country preaching equal rights if we don't really have...
Well, I think we ought to practice them before we preach them.
Is this a time to worry about privacy rights and civil rights?
Every time is a time to be concerned about your rights to privacy and your personal rights. I mean, there's no good time or bad time. It's all the time. Like I said, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. You've got to be vigilant. It's like the frog in the pan of boiling water. If you put a frog in water that's cold and turn the heat on and it slowly heats up, he'll stay right there and die. If you drop a frog in boiling water, he'll hop right out. So what I'm trying to say is, if you slowly erode the rights of people, pretty soon you wake up and you say, whoa, I got no rights left.
So how do you go about doing that? I mean, how do we just...
Local. Okay. In your local town, in doing local things. Go to the... How many... Have you been to city council meetings?
No.
Why not?
Because I didn't know. I don't know when they are, and I don't know about...
You don't know when they are.
Don't you think
it's your obligation to
find out when they are? But I didn't know that we could go to those things.
Those are the people that are running your community.
Oh.
Have you ever been to a board of supervisors meeting?
No.
Why not?
because I didn't know I could go. See, so how do I make sure that everybody knows about these things? And
well, and the first thing you've got to figure out is how do you make yourself know about
okay.
it?
Okay, so how do I know?
Once you figure that out, then you can tell somebody else to know.
So how do I know about the supervisor meetings? And
well, I call the clerk of the board. Now I can tell you the supervisors meet every Tuesday.
In Willits or in Ukiah?
No, in Ukiah. And you can call the city clerk of the city of Willits and find out when their city council meetings. They're required by law to post their agenda.
If I go to those meetings, will I have some say in
Certainly.
What's going on?
You can stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, I don't like that.
Ooh. Okay.
But you can't do that unless you know what they're talking
okay.
about. And you can't just go to one meeting.
You've
right. got to go to them. You got to go to them regularly because it's a continuum flow of stuff that's going on. But they have a direct impact on your daily life. The government has just got such a death grip on the citizens because they don't trust them. And, of course, when I say a government doesn't trust the people, why in the hell should the people trust the government?
I don't trust the government.
That's a good plan.
But how can, like, everybody else be so comfortable with the government when they...
When you don't know about something, you're very blissful. The majority of people in the United States are ignorant of what's going on, and therefore they're very blissful. And when you try to ring a bell and say, hey, wake up,
they don't
wake up,
to.
Look what's going on around you. Oh, no, no. Sky's not falling.
Do you think that the U.S. has potential to be a dictatorship?
Oh, sure. Sure does.
Well, okay, so everything has
potential. We're almost in a police state now, in case you hadn't noticed.
Yeah. How far away is it?
I don't know. It's as far away as nobody paying any attention. The frog in the slowly heating up water. When it happens, it'll be too late.
So can we use our freedom of speech and everything to inform people about that?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. But you need to watch on a local level. You need to watch what your city council's doing. You need to watch what the board of supervisors are doing. The only one you have any control and direction over is you.
Okay.
And you can do what you feel is right. And my attitude has always been, I put my head down, I think I know what's right, and I do what I think is right. That will please some and astonish the rest. And that's, again, not a quote originally with me. Mark Twain said that, always do right, you'll please a few and astonish all the rest of them. But that's all you can do. I can't control what he does or what you do. Other than by doing what I do, and you see me doing it and say,
exactly.
That looks pretty good, so maybe I better do it, too. So it's by example. If you're unaware, you're fair game. I mean, anybody can come along, and you're very pliable if you're unaware. If you're aware, and you're aware, you're going to question everything everybody tells you, and particularly anything from anybody from the government trying to tell you anything. You see all this stuff going on around you, and you're saying, you want to take people and just shake them and say, you dumb fool, don't you see what's going on? And they'll say, get lost, you know, what are you uptight about? And they don't see it. They can't see it. I don't know that they don't see it, but they can't see it.
Yeah, and I just see it in, like, everyone and everything with judgment and how people are so afraid of everything, like, anything out of the norm, anything, like, just walking down the street, you'll see it. People are too afraid to say hello to each other or just, like, good evening. It's like, oh, my gosh, there's a person coming. Like, hide the purse, you know?
Yes.
It's just there's too much fear.
Well, fear runs the world. If you want to know what runs the world, it's fear.
What is acceptance? I don't understand what acceptance is.
Well, if you're secure in yourself, you don't care about acceptance. It's very acceptable to appear to be patriotic, to have a flag on everything, to wear a flag on your lapel. That's real acceptable right now. There's a story going around, a Frenchman's written a story about how the possibility that the whole September 11th thing was staged.
Yeah, so that we could go get oil.
By the military and industrial complex.
Seriously.
And people say,
I believe
you crazy? That's not that far-fetched.
No, it's not at all. And, I mean, things coming up now about how we knew, like, 2 years prior and everything, to the fact that they had a plan or whatever. I mean, I know it might be all hocus-pocus or whatever,
but we don't
really know. And, like, it's just, like, I really feel that our government has ulterior motives in doing the things that they do.
Is that so?
Yes.
How did you ever form that opinion?
I don't know, because, I mean, we're all about wealth, and those other countries have wealthy things like oil and, you know, fossil fuels.
We want them.
Yes, and, yeah, exactly. And we'll do anything, even kill millions of people, which is sick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh,
but it is. That's what it is right now.
How can we declare war on terrorism? You know what I mean?
Well, how can we declare war on drugs?
We can't.
Well, we did.
How do we do that?
No, don't you hear him talking about, there's a war on drugs.
What?
I said, what are you talking about?
What does war mean then?
Well,
I mean.
Yeah.
I don't.
But that's a catchy phrase. You know, we're going to declare a war on drugs. Well, if there's
a
war on drugs.
For...
Yeah. If there is a war on drugs, we lost. And we haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, and we'll never win because,
no.
I mean...
And a war on terrorism? Does that mean we don't like terrorism?
And how can we only classify the terrorists' actions are only from Afghanistan and things like that? I mean, isn't that unjust to do that?
Well, yeah, but then you have to define what you mean by terrorist.
Yeah, see? They didn't do that. They automatically jumped to the conclusion.
No, but because this is a catchy phrase. Everybody's opposed to terrorism
because
you think
terror,
of terrorism.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And that's a good thing to stomp out. So they come up with these catchy phrases, a war on terrorism, a war on drugs. I don't think you can have freedom without liberty. Freedom just means that you have the ability to make choices. Without the liberty to make those choices, you have nothing.
And so our country has liberty, but no other country?
I don't think we have much liberty anymore. I don't think we have much freedom anymore, because look at your Patriot
Act.
Look at all the laws. Laws are being passed. If you look at the laws that are being passed anywhere, by any legislative body, and then ask the question, what is this law designed to do? Why are we passing this law? And I'll submit to you that the majority of laws are passed now so a legislator can get his name on a piece of legislation that he can go back to his constituents and say, oh, look what I've done. And somebody will say, well, you know.
How is that relevant?
How does that help me? And they pass nonsensical laws. And you ask them, what, you know, okay, you've passed this law. What is it you're trying to accomplish? And I don't think one of them can tell you.
Right.
Because, as I said at the beginning, only law-abiding citizens obey the laws. And laws do not prevent crime. They never have. The district attorney, the job that I hold, is probably the most powerful person in your community. The most powerful person in the state. There are 34 million people in the state of California. You know how many DAs there are? 58. Just 58 of us. And there are 2,000 judges in the state of California. But no judge ever sees a case unless a DA files it.
So what exactly do you do? Like, how does...
I'm the one that has the discretion to say, we're going to enforce this law and we're not going to enforce this one.
Oh. In our community or...
In this county.
Okay.
But every DA has that power. So that's why I'm telling you, your local politicians or the local people that are in that you voted to give control of your community are the most important ones.
Definitely.
You know, all the people that are over in the legislature, they pass all the laws they want. If I choose not to enforce them, yeah, well, then what's going to happen? I have to set priorities. The constitutional mandate for a district attorney is that I'm to investigate crime and prosecute crimes. So that leaves me all sorts of discretion as to what crimes get prosecuted and what don't.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of crimes would you say should be prosecuted and what kind?
All those crimes that are crimes against people and property. And then if I have time left over, then I will prosecute the victimless crimes. So you've got to set priorities, and the DAs are the ones that set the priorities. And not many people understand that. Not many people know that. Now, I don't send anybody to jail. That's the judge's job. But I'm the one that puts the case in front of the judge.
Oh.
He never gets a case except what I file.
Well, this is good to know. Like, just being more knowledgeable of everything, like the whole system of government and system of everything that goes down.
Well, they don't teach you that in school, do they?
Not really. No.
No, they don't teach you anything about the history of your country in terms of why these things happen. There are no practical courses in schools now that you know, I would say, you got a local government class?
No.
You don't sit in the classroom and read about it. You go down to the Board of Supervisors. You go to the city council chambers, and you see what happens. The only way you can find out what local government is to see it in action.
Definitely.
And ask questions. And have people from the local government come in and talk to your class. Have a DA come in and talk to your half. Have a police chief come in and talk to your class. Have these people come in and talk to your class and explain to them what they do.
I really, really want to say thank you for being here today. And right. I've, like, gained so much knowledge about everything. And just to everyone out there, I hope that this has been really informative, because this is the stuff we need to concentrate on and be willing to look at everything, you know. Don't just go off of the first glimpse. Dig into those things out there, and hopefully you'll find out what.
Well, I invite you down to my office. Call up, come down, and watch what goes on in a courtroom. See what the DA does. See what the judges do.
Yeah. Let's participate in what's going on in our local government. And
sure. Come to court before you have to.
Ooh. Maybe I'll do that. I've been wanting to. But, yeah, it's just, this is the time that we need to start, you know, being active and taking the responsibility into our hands if we want our country to be a success and to go places. So let's do it.
That was an interview conducted by Heather Clegg, a former Willits High student, and Norm Roman, who has recently been reelected district attorney in May 2002. Norm passed away this week. He was up for re-election in November. We'll discuss the topic of raising political awareness in high schools for a bit, then we'll open the phone lines for your ideas and opinions. We are very interested in your opinions, and we'll invite you to join in our conversation in about 15 minutes. We're here at the Willits Studio, and our phone number will be 456-9991. We will encourage everyone to join in the discussion in about 15 minutes. So we'll begin by talking how aware of local politics we are in high school. How much are we taught at school? Should we know more? And how can we improve our right and responsibility to choose the leaders we need in this community? So, Janelle, what insights did you get from the interview with Norm Roman?
One of the things that jumped out at me was when Norm said, the majority of people in this country are ignorant and are therefore blissful. And I think the idea of, you know, ignorance being bliss is really, you know, really has an impact on our society today, and I think it's really predominant. And just that, you know, if people don't perceive that these laws passed and what's going on in the government will affect them personally, you know, immediately, then they're really not willing to go out and vote and go out and make a change, you know, for the better.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, I've been talking to all these people, and they've been talking, like, the older generations, and, you know, like, during the 60s and 70s, all the youth were very active, you know, in politics and all that kind of stuff, and I think that it was because something was happening, you know, the draft, you know, Vietnam was happening, and so it was something that was affecting youth, you know, you're getting shipped over to Vietnam, and, you know, your friends, your family were dying, and so nothing right now has been causing anybody really to be affected in that way, not like massive populations. I mean, people have been affected by, you know, the war in Iraq and, you know, the Patriot Act, but not to the extent that, you know, Vietnam happened.
It's like the idea of how, you know, if you stick a frog in a pot of water and slowly heat it up, then they'll just die there. But if you drop one into boiling water, then they'll hop out. I thought that was a really sort of powerful and a very explanatory analogy.
Right. Well, yeah, we're just sitting here, you know, like, the rights are slowly getting chipped away from us, but, you know, nothing has caused us to really hurt, so we're not really quite aware of it, but all of a sudden we're going to be boiling, and we're going to want, you know, these rights, and we're not going to have them anymore. But, Danielle, what is one way to solve this problem?
I don't know, you know, I think it's really important that we start educating people early on mm-hmm. about politics and about how they can affect the community around them with their vote and their say. Like what Norm Vohman was talking about, you know, go to the, you know, district attorney's office, go to the school board meetings and find out what's going on and act.
Right. Well, yeah, ignorance basically is lack of education. So, you know, you solve ignorance through education.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that I think would be really great for our schools in Mendocino County and our school in Laytonville is if we had like representatives from, you know, different political parties, or if we had you know, someone who's running for, you know, sheriff. To come into the classrooms and actually discuss political, you know, awareness and voting and all these important issues with the students, I think that would really make a difference, as would having, you know, like mock elections. Like, I think that's definitely something that some students at Laytonville High would be interested in doing, you know, for the upcoming election, because the fact that the students would be learning about these issues would prepare them so much more for when they actually go out and vote.
One of the things that I have noticed, though, is that even if you do have, for instance, a mock vote at school, especially in this area and a lot of really rural areas, it's hard for people to register to vote. For instance, even though I'm still in high school, I'm 18, and I tried to register to vote, and I can't because I don't have, what was the phrase they used? I don't have a 911 address. And I guess that means that I put down my mailing address instead of my home address, because I don't even know what my home address is. I don't have a mailbox. I don't have a number by my house. And I don't even have a street name. I just live off Branscombe Road, and I think a lot of people around here live like that, and it's really hard to get into the political system if you can't even vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and one of those problems that I noticed that both of you sort of brought up was, you know, like, one of the reasons I think not a lot of people, and especially youth, aren't voting is because we have, like, this whole generation of disaffected youth. You know, where people, you know, don't care what's going on in Iraq or internationally or nationally, you know, it's just, you know, TV, video games, that sort of type of thing. It's not, you know, we aren't getting inspired to see the political arena. We're just seeing entertainment, you know, as what we should be focusing on. And I mean, I think that's been going on for a while, you know, like, I don't think people expect youth to be interested in politics. And so there isn't as much encouragement to get youth interested. Like, one of the things that drives me crazy is that there's such a large amount of youth out there, and that no political party or a political candidate really sees that opportunity. Like, you know, you don't see political candidates going to high schools, but even to, like, colleges, where, I mean, basically everyone in college can vote, you know, and no one is voting in college. Like, there's a very low percentage of people who actually vote while in college, you know, and so, but you still don't see political people going and trying to motivate those people. You know, we are such a force if we get motivated. We could, you know, change what's going on in our country today, but we just don't have that motivation.
Well, I think it's more than just, you know, going out and voting. The people in college and high school aren't even, especially in college, aren't even really aware of what's going on, because they are encouraged not to go out and vote, but to focus on their school life and their social life. And, you know, they, there was a kid up at Reed College up in Oregon who didn't know about Hurricane Katrina for like a week after it happened, even, and he had to come back and find out about it at the high school, which I thought was really strange.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, these people in college, they're there to learn, and they should know what's going on in their country, you know, and this was something amazing and tragic, and he didn't know about it.
Yeah. One of the things sort of along the lines of youth and how they view political issues is, I think that Norm Vroman said, in his interview, you know, like, it's just the thing to do, to be political. But the majority of these people are copycats. And, you know, recently I've, you know, I think everybody's noticed, you know, more in the last 5 or 6 years, more, you know, American flags on people's houses and buttons on their shirts. And I think a lot of it has more to do with just the fact of, you know, feeling like they belong to something and sort of like a false, false feeling of actually doing something. When in fact, I think the majority of them, you know, don't really know what happened, during 9/11. And they don't really understand, you know, what laws are being passed right now and how the government's working.
Well, and what drives me crazy about people wearing American flags, like, I'm totally for people wearing American flags. But what that sort of represents is, you know, like, I support America. You know, but it's just such blind support. It's like, it's like saying, I'm supporting America without questioning it at all. And, like what Norm Vroman said in his thing, in his interview, that the government doesn't trust the people, so why should the people trust the government? You know, so like, if we put all this trust in the government and don't question what is going on, you know, it's not right. You know, like, we have had cases in America where, you know, the president or, you know, the government has been corrupt. Look at Watergate, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we need to be questioning whether or not it's right or not, you know, so people put these flags saying, I support America, but it's just such blind support. It's without question and without anything like that.
I think there's definitely a lowered expectation of liberty in our country right now with things, you know, laws being passed like the Patriot Act and anti-abortion propositions and things, you know, back in the 60s when everyone was really, really serious about their rights and doing something themselves, I think that they would have, you know, thought that was really, really sort of out there.
Right. Well, there's also the thing to think about that back in the 60s, you know, for instance, during the 40s, it even started as early as the 30s with the Depression, and in the 40s there was World War II and Hitler, and in the 50s there was the Red Scare and McCarthy, and the country was, I think, shifting to a point where the government was getting too corrupt. They were trying to take over our lives, and people started realizing that with the civil rights and the, you know, the McCarthyism stuff, and even the internment camps, and they started fighting back. And the crazy thing is, I think that a lot of that is happening now, but I don't think that it's affecting people. I don't think enough people watch the news. You know, if Joseph McCarthy was on the news right now, a lot of people wouldn't know about it. A lot of people wouldn't know what he was talking about and what was going on. And that wasn't necessarily true back then, and it angered people, and now it's different.
Well, I think McCarthy is basically like George Bush and his idea of, you know, terrorism. You know, it's that same thing, like, let's go find the people who are communists, you know, back in the 50s, and now it's let's go find the people who are terrorists right now.
But they aren't necessarily communist or terrorist. They just are against the government.
Well, I would like to sort of draw this discussion more towards, you know, high school and everything. And, like, I know currently, as a senior, all seniors are required to take a government class. And in this class, you know, it's U.S. government, and it focuses on, you know, current events, that sort of type of thing. But one of my questions is for you, Dan. Being a freshman in high school, are you personally interested in politics, or does the school teach you about government or politics?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely interested in politics. They affect me just like they affect anyone else. The only difference is I don't have a say in anything that happens. But, and, like, schools don't try to teach me anything about it. Like, so far, they haven't done anything. And, yeah, I really wish they would.
Yeah, I think that the fact that, you know, only seniors do take government classes, and the government class is really good, and, you know, even so far, it's taught us a lot about, you know, how everything is run. But what I think would be equally as important is if the younger students were also informed about these proceedings, because then, you know, they would have more knowledge by the time they were able to vote, and they would, you know, be more used to the idea and sort of have a feel of their political views. And I don't think that currently a lot of 18-year-olds, you know, have a clue about who they want to vote for or what kind of propositions, you know, they think are best for their community.
Well, I think, just talking about the school, I think the school does have responsibility to teach us about government and beyond just government classes. I mean, in, you know, a democracy, the school system is the place where students learn. You know, although you learn from your family and the community, the school is the designated place where you are to learn. So, you know, it should be more than just, you know, where you learn how to be a good citizen, how to, you know, live in a civil society or whatever, and, you know, how to vote, how to, you know, contribute to your community, all those type of things. You learn it in that school, in your school setting. And so only teaching it your senior year in government class, I don't think is quite enough. You know, there should be more. There should be, you know, in every class, you know, somehow relate it to the political structure and the political arena. You know, read about books that tie into, you know, current politics or to politics or, you know, your rights or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that definitely having more outside information besides one or two classes would really be beneficial. And, you know, maybe that's something that the students need to take the initiative to do. Maybe, you know, having a political club would be a good idea. I really think that having, like, political candidates come to our school and talk to us is a really good thing. And I would encourage people in other high schools in Mendocino County to try and get that going. I mean, I bet if when Norm Vroman was the DA, I bet if a school had written to him and asked if he would do an interview, that he would be really enthusiastic about that. And I think that's something that, you know, all schools should focus on.
Okay, so we're going to open the phone lines now. The number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call in, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, the parents, and the concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about political awareness in high school and among young adults in our community. The number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call in and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. So, caller, you're on the air.
Thanks for another great show. Really appreciate your sharing your thoughts and concerns with everybody. I, as someone who has experience with Ukiah High, would like to say that there is a group there that's called the Progressive Club, mm-hmm. and there are students who feel like they aren't getting enough participation and information about what's happening socially and politically, and one, want to be informed, and two, want to find ways to help make a difference. Mm-hmm. And they've invited speakers, they've shown videos, they've participated in different actions. And I think, you know, it's not enough, but it helps to supplement what you're getting from teachers.
Yeah.
And I think letting social studies teachers and English teachers know that you justifiably feel like, because from my experience of government classes, it's all like about history and theory, and not enough of it is about developing your own ideas and perspectives and how does that apply to our situation today and how you can plug in and make a difference yourself. And so to try to, you know, kind of bring it more into the present and into your own lives to empower yourself. And I think that directly works against, I think, what people, the parallels that were just being drawn between McCarthyism and what's happening with the Bush administration, especially since 9/11, is that if you make people afraid, but also at the same time kind of, you know, say we can keep your comfortable lifestyle, but there's this big thing out there, you should be afraid, that people are kind of willing to go along for the whole lot unless something's really put in their face about what's happening. And one of the things that we have that's happening in this county right now is about Measure Y. Are you familiar with that?
No.
It's going to be on our local Mendocino County in this next election, and it's about saying that Mendocino County residents want to end the occupation in Iraq and bring the troops home now.
Right, okay.
And so that would be a great thing to have people, you know, you could help educate people in your own community about that, you know, just in the next month or so would really make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for the show.
Thank you for your call in and telling us about the Progressive Club in Ukiah. I think that's a really valid idea.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, you could get kind of hooked up with them and get some ideas and, you know, maybe even point a support, you know, put on something jointly or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, I wanted to let the student that didn't have an address know that he can find that out through the county and get on the voting list. And I also want to say the fog definitely is simmering. And I would suggest to the youth that they find a leader that they can believe in and then do everything through the internet and get it going. Because if you do it on the streets, you're going to get beaten up just like they did at Kent State and Haight-Ashbury. So be careful. We are in a police state, but you still have a chance with the internet.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Caller, you're on the air? Caller, you're on the air?
Yep.
Hi. Hello?
Yeah.
Caller?
Uh-huh.
Hi.
How's it going?
Very well.
So the one thing that I always thought, you know,
Hello?
The one thing, you know, that I always thought was...
Was what, caller?
That was pretty ridiculous about, you know, our government and stuff, is that, you know, all the presidents and senators and so forth that we have, is they're all, you know, super old, and, you know, none of them really know about the things that are going on in today, you know. They're all just old time, and none of them really can connect with the things that are happening today with the youth and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I completely agree. Caller, can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
What do you think you should do to become more aware politically?
As a student?
As a student or just as a person?
Well, I think that, I mean, I try to be as aware as possible, but, you know, it's like, besides from checking the news all the time, you know, just kind of talking about it more. Like, I mean, I think the biggest thing is talking about it in schools and, you know, just, I don't know, talking, you know, just making it more verbal and, you know, just like, you know, if you're taking government class, you know, try to focus more on the things that you can do now compared to, you know, the history of everything.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, out of class discussions would be even more beneficial and would draw more interested students that maybe weren't in those classes?
Yeah, no, definitely.
I
think that, you know, like, I remember last year in my government class, you know, I wish we had it. You know, almost a seminar about, you know, all the, you know, the current events that were going on each day. You know, it was like just all the modern things.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just want to tell you guys that you're doing a great job and have a good night.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you, too.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, hi. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that I just love hearing such deep thinking on the part of young people these days.
Thank you.
And earlier people were talking about how ignorance is not bliss. It's really slavery, if you think about it. And then also the city council's still meeting. So, I mean, it would be great to have contingents of young people going down to, or coming to city council meetings or going down to the supervisors' meetings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
Caller on the air.
Yeah, I was interested in the comment you made earlier that you didn't have the Vietnam War to bring people together. And I wondered how you felt about the fact that I recently talked to someone who was fairly high up in the military, and he was saying the draft's going to come back because they aren't going to be able to maintain what they're doing without it. And my next question at that point was, well, they're only registering males with the Selective Service. And he said, well, they actually have alternate ways that they're keeping track of the girls, and that when the draft starts, it's going to be males and females. And I just wondered what your opinion was of that.
Well, about the male and female drafting, in theory, of course, it is actually fair that women be drafted too. And being a woman, I know that, you know, I'm hesitant to be drafted, but it actually would be probably, you know, the only fair way to actually draft people, especially, you know, now with women, you know, basically screaming, you know, like, we are equal to, and we should have all these equal opportunities. You know, unfortunately, it still does mean that they would have to be drafted as well, is my opinion.
I, on the other hand, think that they need to develop a more safer system for women to join the military. I have seen statistics showing, you know, the number of cases where women are raped or molested or sexually harassed.
That's true.
Who are in the military, you know. So, I mean, like, I definitely, as a woman, would feel unsafe going into, you know, a place where it is, like, very common for a woman to get sexually assaulted, you know. That sort of thing. But, I mean, I think that having equal opportunity is, you know, I don't know. I mean, like, it makes everybody equal on that level. But I think they need to develop better systems.
Well, do you think it's more likely that if women are drafted, that the system will change as women put pressure on it to change and as they become a higher percentage of the military?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, there would be, if women are drafted the same amount as men, you know, there'd be all these women going into the military, so they'd have to accommodate that. But, I mean, right now they don't have to because there is a very low percentage of women.
However, I think that in that situation, like, in the, you know, with the issue of making everyone equal, I think that drafting women would be sort of a downgrade, generally, like, in society, as opposed to not drafting anyone. However, you know, that's probably not realistic.
Well, in the world, they have requirements for service to your government. It doesn't have to mean you're on the firing line. But like Israel, for example, various countries around the world, there's, you know, mandatory service that you do to your country. Everybody has to go spend a year or whatever it is in your particular area. And people go and do various things. It doesn't have to mean you're stepping on landmines, although in this country that's sort of what it's focused on. Do you think this is going to happen?
Well, sort of going back to something that Norm Vroman said, was that if the government doesn't trust its citizens, then, you know, why should the citizens trust its government? So the idea of having a mandatory service to your government, I think, is good in theory, but unless the government would start giving back more to its people, I don't think that it would be very balanced. I don't personally feel like the government is giving a lot to its people at this time in history.
Does that mean you don't want to get drafted?
Well,
I don't want to get drafted.
I can definitely say that I would do all I could to personally resist being drafted. Because, you know, it's something nobody wants to go through, and it's something that no one should have to. I don't think that forced service is the right way to go about it.
Glad to hear that. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you
very much.
Caller, you're on the air.
I just wanted to make kind of an announcement that on October 5th, there's going to be, like, a nationwide walkout, like, all over the country. It's going to be, like, to protest the, you know, the war and the Bush administration and kind of like everything that they stand for. And like my school actually is going to be participating in it. I live in Lake County, we're just kind of going to stage like a walkout. You know, we're just going to walk out of class and march down to the park. But it's the students that are that is organizing it, and I just wanted to encourage people in other counties to do it. They could check it out at worldcantwait.org. It's like a nationwide thing that's going on October 5th. And I just wanted to get that out there.
Okay. Thank you for contributing.
All right, cool. Bye.
I'm going to do that.
Call, you're on the air.
I just wanted to congratulate you on this wonderful program that you're doing. I think it's just fabulous, and I hope that you'll continue to do it. And I wanted to make sure that that it was perfectly clear about when you register to vote, you don't actually need to have an address. You need a physical location where you live. And the reason why this is in the law is so that homeless people can also vote. You just need to say where you generally are.
Can it be like a mile marker before you turn off a road?
Absolutely. Okay. You can say, I live in the first house on the driveway after mile marker 23 or whatever it is.
Okay.
You just need to be very clear and very specific. That was the first thing that I needed to say, because I don't want anyone who wants to vote to not do it because of some technicality that, in fact, is irrelevant. That's number one. And number two, if people are interested in getting involved in politics and elections and how our government works, one way is to get involved in a political campaign. And I happen to belong to the Mendocino Coast Democratic Club, and we have an office, a campaign headquarters on Redwood Avenue, East Redwood, just off Main Street in Fort Bragg. And we would love to have young people involved in the process. And if you have any questions or want to be involved in this campaign for governor and on all these propositions, and you have questions about the election, you can call our campaign headquarters and get information. And the telephone number is 964-5513. And I'm hoping that more and more people will become involved, and especially young people, because after all, you are the future of this country.
Yes, we are.
I completely agree.
Congratulations to you for doing this program. And I'm really excited about the idea of your having more involvement and learning more about how government works. And there's another thing that I wanted to say, and that is that there's a book, and I wish I could remember specifically. I think it's called A Kid's Guide to Political Action. A Kid's Guide to Political Action. I can't remember the name of the writer of the book, but she talks about all the ways that people actually have become involved, even young people, even people much, much younger than you are, have been involved in changing the way our society works by plugging in and getting involved. So that would be a good thing to look at.
Well, I have a question for you.
Certainly.
As a Democrat or working at the foundation or whatever, would you be willing to send, like, a representative to a school? Or?
Absolutely. I've done it myself. I've gone to the middle school in Fort Bragg and talked about the whole issue of offshore oil, which I happen to know a lot about. I've spoken to the community school in Mendocino about a proposition that would have required parental notification for young girls who wanted to get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the ballot last time, and it's going to be on the ballot again.
Yeah.
I'd be very happy to do that. My name is Rachel Bina, and I'm a member of the Democratic National Committee. And if anybody wants to call me and invite me to come to their school, I'll be happy to do it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You can call me and get me in the phone book, or you can call the Democratic headquarters, and they will take a message for me. And the number there is 961-5513.
Okay. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Caller, you're on the air.
Again.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, I'm just calling in to say, well, congratulations, first of all, for doing a good show. But,
Thank you.
I feel like the show has kind of missed the point in a way. I think the argument for political awareness is a pretty good one.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the show has taken on more of a anti-Bush, anti-war, hippie propaganda type feel to it.
Well, thank you for calling, and we look forward to hearing your opinions.
That might be my fault.
May we ask how you would have differently viewed the subject?
No, I would have taken the same approach to it. It's just the general feel of the whole thing tends to seem very left-leaning, and I don't know. I happen to be one of those proud Americans with an American flag on my pickup truck.
I have another question, if you'd like it. Do you think that the comparison between Bush and his approach to terrorism can in any way be compared to McCarthy and the Red Scare? I'm sorry, caller, we can't hear you.
I think what's right for the people were going out there, we're trying to stop any more tragic events like 9/11 from happening. I think we're doing what's good for the American people.
Okay.
And I have a question for you all, actually. Do you consider yourselves all politically aware?
I consider myself to be as politically aware as I can be with the information that is presented to me. I don't deny that I could be more politically aware. I think that everyone could be more politically aware. And there's so much information that it's really difficult to really grasp all that's out there.
Caller, we're actually running out of time at this point. So we're actually going to have to cut this call short.
But thank you so much for calling in. And we appreciate your opinion.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for the show. You guys always put on a good show. I'm kind of the opposite of your last caller. I tend to think that the only reason there could be a pro-war feeling right now amongst anybody is because they're uneducated, and they went to these schools that did not teach history, did not teach critical thinking, and things like this. And I would say, even with progressive thinkers like yourselves, I heard a kid call talking about a protest on October 5th, and none of you had a question for him. And then I heard the Democratic person call for their organization, and you guys were all, you know, excited about that and asked if they could come and speak. I'm just saying, you know, I don't know that we have time to leave it to generations after us to get educated. You know, you're not going to have anything left to pay for any education. It's time to get out in the streets. I totally disagree with the one caller who said, you know, it's dangerous out in the streets. If you don't get out in the streets and start standing up and forcing your school, I mean, walk out. If they're not doing their job, walk out. And we have to get out in the streets. We have to think about the people that come after us, period. Thanks for the show.
Thank you for your call. That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts tonight have been me, Janelle,
and Patty,
Danielle,
and Dan.
Thank you to our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett studio. Youth Speaks Out is in need of funding. If you, as an individual or an organization, can help sponsor this project, please contact the director, Dan Roberts. Dan may be reached by phone at 459-1760, by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. That's www.youthspeaksout.net. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who have expressed them. Our next show will be the last Sunday of the month. That's October 29th at 6 p.m. Thank you for listening, and good night.